Yes.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday afternoon, November 7th session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in Council meetings, you must sign up in advance with the Council Clerk's Office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Thank you. Carla, we have two items today. Could you read the first item, please?
Item 1157, adopt the fiscal year 2018-19 fall supplemental budget and make other budget-related changes.
Colleagues, before us, we have the fall supplemental budget, also known as the fall bump. The fall bump is meant to address technical adjustments to true-up budgets between our fiscal years. This year, I issued, with the support of my colleagues, budget guidance to strengthen the framework under which the bump requests are looked at. The budget framework for my fall bump proposal, it holds the line on new investments. I even withdrew one of my own requests to honor this. Somebody called it out last week. I agreed with that. I withdrew it. Only funds urgent one-time needs that absolutely cannot wait. And it funds obligations that the council has previously committed to. The City Budget Office has advised us to retain as much in general fund contingency as possible this year due to the existence of potential large liabilities occurring over the next 18 months, and my fall supplemental budget adheres to this recommendation. A focus for me in this proposed fall supplemental budget is promoting a more fiscally resilient city. My proposed budget addresses critical infrastructure liabilities by addressing needed replacements of traffic signals and lamps. This budget fully pays for the Anderson settlement liability, saving the city $400,000 in ongoing general fund resources beginning in the next fiscal year. And it seeks to address future liabilities by providing $2 million in ongoing funding beginning in the 2019-2020, beginning in fiscal year 2019-2020 to address ADA needs in the Parks Bureau and the Bureau of Transportation. My proposed fall supplemental budget also provides funding for key council priorities, including the creation of the Office for Community Technology as a standalone office, including funding for a new director position, for legal counsel, and for a cost study. It includes funding for implementation of the rental registration system, for the creation of a pilot program to expunge records to facilitate housing, for the completion of the Portland United Against Hate pilot project, including implementation of the hate tracking tool, funding to provide safety guards on city trucks to enhance our ability to adhere to our Vision Zero safety goals, and funding to begin Census 2020 outreach work in coordination with jurisdictional partners to make sure that all Portlanders are counted in the upcoming census. Due to unique circumstances, the City Budget Office only recently became aware of additional available contingency. I'll be making a motion to move the substitute ordinance and exhibits with these changes to recognize additional resources. But first, I'd like to invite Jessica Kennard, our interim City Budget Director, to walk us through the supplemental budget ordinance and this update to the contingency.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, and good afternoon, Mayor and members of Council.
And Jessica, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave for a few minutes, so could I do this slightly out of order?
Absolutely.
Could I put the substitute on the table, and then I'm going to I know what you're going to say because we've gone through it.
Yep.
I'll turn the gavel over to Commissioner Saltzman. So I'd like to move the substitute.
Second.
We have a motion.
Can I just clarify?
Yes, please.
That substitute has the extra $2 million in capital set aside, continuing to be set over for a future
That's
decision.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, very
and
good.
That's what I will support.
Good. So we have a motion and a second, and I will be back in 10 minutes, and I apologize. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. As the mayor mentioned, my name is Jessica Kennard. I'm the interim city budget director. I'm here with Jane Marie Ford, the supplemental budget coordinator in our office. We held a work session October 30th where we reviewed the details of the proposed supplemental budget. Today, we're going to review the mayor's proposed bump, including the changes that have occurred since that work session, and also discuss proposed amendments. After amendments are proposed, we'll have a brief presentation from the Office of Community and Civic Life on the Portland United Against Hate, or PUA, program, as requested by council during the work session last week. For the benefit of listeners in the audience and at home, I want to briefly provide some contextual information related to the bump, which was discussed last week. In the fall bump, we true up general fund ending balance to account for encumbrance carryovers, program carryovers, and other technical adjustments related to allocating resources and expenditures between fiscal years. For the last fiscal year, which was fiscal year 17-18, the remaining excess fund balance after making these adjustments totaled $11.9 million out of a $668 million general fund budget. This number is very similar to the previous fiscal year and is consistent with what we would expect given city financial policies of forecasting conservatively and a continued strong economy. As you are aware, this number is higher than what we discussed last week due to a couple of unusual circumstances occurring this bump, most notably related to the declining of our outdated budget system, which we have been in the process of replacing with a new system that will thankfully be going live next month. Available capital set-aside now stands at $5.9 million. The mayor's substitute ordinance assumes the allocation of $3.9 million to major maintenance projects, which is in line with the available resources that were discussed last week, and the $2 million balance now sits in policy set-aside contingency for appropriation towards capital set-aside projects. I would note that as part of your packets, you have a color copy of the capital set-aside ranked projects with a column that denotes currently funded amounts and a box at the bottom that articulates the available balance. As a reminder, these projects are ranked by asset managers according to a set of established criteria that seeks to measure the risk, likelihood, and impact of asset failure, but council may allocate capital set-aside resources to any project on that list. And so that list, that document has the blue header here. So that's for your reference. Unrestricted contingency with the mayor's proposed substitute supplemental budget decisions now stands at $6.3 million. CBO continues to recommend that council reserve as much in funding in general fund unrestricted contingency as possible for current year and future year liabilities. Council has in recent weeks had a number of very compelling discussions around the need to better plan for and address financial liabilities, and these one-time resources may afford an opportunity to act on some of the strategies that have been brought forward, most notably in the work session led yesterday by CFO Cooperman. You have before you also substitute exhibit number 4, which is the document with the orange header. This is the document that lists all of the changes to the general fund that are proposed in the substitute ordinance. And there are two items that I want to highlight for council, which represent a change from the materials that we discussed last week. First, under new discretionary revenues, which is on page 2, you'll see a negative number of $6.3 million. This actually, the negative numbers in this document reflect returns to the general fund, and this is the recognition of the Comcast settlement revenue, which is being placed in policy set aside to fully pay for the Anderson settlement, which is due in September of 2019. And this is what the mayor alluded to, will save the city $400,000 in ongoing general fund beginning next fiscal year. The second change is one that the mayor mentioned in his opening remarks, and that is to remove the $150,000 in funding for Prosper Portland for the PCC Swan Island Training Center. So it was also discussed in the work session, and that has been removed from the materials that you all saw last Tuesday. With that, my staff and I are available to answer any questions before we move to the next item, which I believe is to put forward amendments.
So, Mr. President, I have an amendment. Okay. Were there any questions before we go to amendments? Any? Okay.
I'll pass my amendment out, and then I will read it. And Carla, do you have a copy? Jessica, can I hand this to you?
Absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't have one.
Oh, this is, yes.
So let me read this.
Is this different?
So amendment, Fish Amendment 1 is increase Bureau expenses in Portland Parks and Recreation's general fund budget by $50,000 to fund outreach programming at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. Reduce general fund unrestricted contingency by $50,000 to fund this change. Update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change.
Second.
So that's now on the table.
Okay.
Great. I also have an amendment. Just bear with me for a moment. I didn't expect that to come so quickly. My amendment is to increase Bureau expenses in the Office of Community and Civic Life's general fund budget by $125,000 to fund additional costs related to Census 2020 coordination and response, by reducing the general fund unrestricted contingency by $125,000 to fund this change, update and update exhibits 1 through 5 as needed to reflect this change.
Second.
Thank you.
And Mr. President, I have a legislative history I'd like to put on the record. We may also get some testimony on this.
Okay.
In the full budget last year, Council ended up agreeing to a budget note instructing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to come back with an explanation as to how they would implement a so-called dark skies initiative. They delivered the explanation to Council and a potential budget, but did not forward a budget request through the fall bump. We understand there may be some testimony today about that particular request. I'd like to simply establish as a matter of legislative record that the request is will be addressed through the regular budget. While I'm disappointed that we're not making a down payment now, I understand why that is not likely to happen. But the expectation that I have as one of the sponsors of this is that it will be included by BPS in the full budget this coming summer. So I'd like that reflected in the legislative history.
Okay. Any other amendments? Did you have anything further to present, or?
That is, I believe that next on the agenda is actually to invite Civic Life up to provide a brief presentation as requested on the PUA program.
Oh, okay.
I think we should take first. Isn't our normal sequence to take testimony first on what's on the table, and then bring Civic Life up?
Well, this isn't an amendment; it's a presentation.
I understand, but I'm not picking a fight on this. I just want to make sure we have the substitute motion, we have amendments, we have people who want to testify on those matters that we go to. I'm just wondering, does the testimony come ahead of a presentation on a matter for which there is no amendment?
This isn't testimony. This is an invited staff member. I'm sorry. I'm also confused because it's in the budget, but we've been requested to give a presentation.
So I was expecting there to be an amendment asking for more money than is in the budget. Since there isn't, I don't necessarily need to have that, but I wasn't given that information.
As far as I know, it's still in the mayor's proposed budget, the request for PUA funding.
That's correct. The current proposed supplemental budget does include the requested, I believe, total $221,000. For the extension and expansion of the PUA program that is included in the current.
And is that different from what we discussed at the work session?
That is the same package that was discussed at the work session. It is a new request in the fall bump, but it was what was discussed in the work session, yes.
But it was not previously recommended for funding, or it was?
It has been included in the mayor's proposed, and as it was discussed as well last Tuesday.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's take public testimony first, and then if we still need the Civic Life presentation, I'm not sure we really need it since it's in the budget, or I'm getting that sense, then we'll allow for that. So is there any – oh, Carla, yeah.
Yeah, we have four people signed up. The first three are Bob Solinger, Cynthia Sulaski, and Donovan Smith.
Okay. Okay, well, welcome. And we just need your name, and then you each have 3 minutes, and we'll start with you, Bob.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society, and I'm here today, as Commissioner Fish noted, to testify in favor of including funding in the fall bump for a dark skies ordinance for creation of a dark skies program. I do appreciate the comments that Commissioner Fish made about including it in the spring budget, and I understand the logic behind the decision not to include it now. I hope you will reconsider, though. We've been coming to you for many years talking about this issue. It is an issue that affects human health, wildlife populations, aesthetics. It's consistent with the city's goals of addressing climate change. We have a tremendous amount of light pollution in this city, and it's getting worse and worse. There's example after example, especially in this time of rapid development, of doing things exactly wrong. We're doing things in a way that is not consistent with current standards. Even the new Tilikum Crossing Bridge is lit 5 times higher than is necessary for pedestrian walkways. It's 25 candles on that bridge. It should be 5. We have a long history of overlighting. We do it in some cases with the idea that it makes things safer. Actually, studies show that it makes things more dangerous when you have bad lighting. We have had many people come and testify before you in the past on this issue. We have over 700 people signed up to support our Dark Skies Initiative effort. We decided not to flood the zone today. We decided to spare you repeating all that testimony. But I have no doubt if we had put out the word, they would come here and be here. There's a tremendous amount of interest in this issue out there. I do feel that, understanding that you don't want to introduce new things into this budget bump, our feeling is that it has been something that's been discussed over and over in the past. We tried to get it into the central city plan. The feeling of BPS was it made more sense to wait and do it as a standalone project. At the time that was adopted, council talked to the need to move that forward quickly. When the last budget came around, BPS was not ready, so there was a budget note put in to bring it back at the fall bump. Now we're hearing maybe this spring. So from our perspective, it's not a new thing. It's something that's gotten kind of kicked down the road, waiting for BPS to come back with a budget number, which they now have. If it's not possible, and again, we appreciate the logic behind that, we get it. We do really hope that you will move forward in the spring and make this happen. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Donovan Smith. I'm a member of the IFCC, Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center Community Advisory Committee. I'm here as a artist and a community member coming to y'all to vote in favor of the fall bump for IFCC's process to continue for $50,000. I don't have my talking points in front of me, so I'm just going to kind of spitball to you. But, the IFCC is an important fixture in the Black community here. We're sitting in a very important moment right now in the city where the city and all the different parts that make this thing go are recognizing the racist history and present and how it plays out and trying to offer repair in various ways. The IFCC is one of those small ways that we can make a big difference and recognize Black arts excellence. I, as an artist, am a part of that tradition. I am friends with many people who are a part of that tradition. And if we miss out on this opportunity, we'd be doing a great disservice to the direction that the city is saying they want to go. And so I would just say that as we're looking towards priorities to put our money towards, this is an excellent opportunity to put money where your mouth is. You know that old saying? Yeah, we can do that. So I'm going to end my testimony there.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia Salasky, and I'm a member of the IFCC Community Advisory Committee as well. I've come here today to ask that you do approve the $50,000 request in the fall bump to allow us to continue our community engagement process and to make the IFCC available for community use. Having lived in Portland and the Overlook neighborhood for 22 years, I have been very grateful for the existence of the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. I thank Charles Jordan and the other Portland City Council members in 1982 for funding the transformation of a mothballed fire station into the unique multicultural resource that IFCC has been. Unfortunately, for the last few years, IFCC has again been mothballed, but now we have an excellent opportunity to reopen it into a center of excellence that presents, displays, and honors rich and vibrant African-American arts and cultural offerings. But we need the funding to continue our work. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thanks for coming.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Can I say one thing for Commissioner Saltzman? I just want to thank you. You were the one that actually kicked off the Dark Skies and Bird Safe initiative many, many years ago. I've testified and worked with you on a lot of environmental initiatives. And just want to say thank you. It's probably the last time I testify before you. And appreciate all your work on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Was there one other?
Sorry, there was two signed up on the line. Okay. It's Alan Warman and Colleen Johnson.
They're next. They've signed up for the next presentation.
So that completes the public testimony, and I guess...
they actually have comments to make for the vote.
Yeah.
Oh,
they signed
okay.
up for the right one.
So they're testifying on both?
Yes.
Okay.
The other one's a report, so I don't...
I'm sorry.
Come on up.
No.
We've
got 3 minutes.
You're going to get your money's worth today.
Thank you, commissioners and mayor. The Portland Utility Board serves as the community advisory.
Give us your name.
Alan Warman, co-chair for the Portland Utility Board. Thank you. Anyway, the Portland Utility Board serves as the Community Advisory Board to the City Council for the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Water Bureau. In that capacity, we review the Bureau's requested budget adjustments submitted for your approval during the City's fall budget monitoring process and offer you the following input for your consideration. PUB is supportive of the request included in the approval in the mayor's proposal, but wanted to take a few minutes to raise some items with the council as a whole. Last fall, PUB had a lengthy and deliberative process and discussion about the role of the budget advisory process in the budget management, and we recommended 6 principles as guides for evaluating the changes to the Bureau during that budget process.
Colleen Johnson, co-chair for the Portland Utility Board. Those principles are included in the letter that we sent you. The requests from the Portland Water Bureau align with those principles, and PUB is supportive of those adjustments, but notes the changes to capital projects are significant. BES requests align in part with PUB's stated principles, but several issues were raised in our discussion. The accumulated biosolids at the Columbia Boulevard wastewater treatment plant should have been known and mitigated if the Bureau was using proper monitoring and management techniques. BES knowingly reduced scheduled trucking for biosolids, lacked contingency plans to address risks posed by weather and fire, and didn't monitor biosolids inflows and outflows to address the net buildup until it became an emergency. As a result, BES will spend $7 million for emergency contracts, twice as much per dry ton for removal than it would have under normal operations. Also, given recent trends in underspending, PUB recommends BES use its budget monitoring management techniques to reallocate existing resources rather than draw on contingency for items that have risen to high priorities for the Bureau. With regard to capital spending, PUB continues to be concerned about the ability of the bureaus to execute on the amount, size, and complexity of capital projects and feels this should be closely monitored. Actual capital spending by both bureaus has been well below planned in the last few years, and the capital plans assume far more capacity than the bureaus can deliver. While the budgets are adjusted over time, annual rates are built on assumptions that include higher cost recoveries than needed. Thank you for the consideration and our feedback, and we'd certainly be happy to review the request with you or provide any additional input if you'd like.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Is that complete public testimony?
Complete testimony, yeah.
Good. Very good. Colleagues, any further questions? I'm sorry, I do. Commissioner Daly?
Yeah, I guess I just received the run of show, and I am unclear as to when we discuss the amendments that we...
Oh, good. You have not discussed the amendments yet?
We put them on the
table.
Put on the table.
Okay, good. Great, because I have some questions about the amendments.
Okay, well, I'll just trust that at some point we're going to talk about them.
Why don't we do it right
okay.
now? And could we also have staff up, please, in case there's any follow-up questions? Commissioner Daly?
Commissioner Fish, do you want to begin put the First Amendment on the table?
Well, we've had a prior discussion about this. This allows us to continue with the public process. My understanding that my amendment has sufficient votes on council to pass, and it is, I think, been discussed with each office, so I don't have anything to add.
Very good. Commissioner Daly?
Yes, if I could have Michelle Rodriguez from Civic Life come up to answer any questions council may have. So, Mayor, you were out of the chambers. My amendment is to increase Bureau expenses in Civic Life by $125,000 to fund additional costs related to the Census 2020 coordination and response. I have a lengthy rationale that I can share with you, or we can start with questions. I do not know if I have the support of the council, so this is all just coming together kind of quickly.
So maybe I'll ask a question and that'll start a conversation. So in the bump itself, we have allocated resources towards the beginning of this process, correct?
That's correct. There's $100,000.
Okay, and the ask was substantially larger than that. I cannot find it, but I believe
$225,000.
$225,000. Very good. And
$245,000.
And I did not fund it in the bump for two reasons, and perhaps you can answer these questions to my satisfaction. I just didn't have the information. Number one, I didn't have a plan. I don't know what it is actually funding. What is the outcome that we are getting in exchange for $225,000, number one? Number two, why do you need it now? And number three, why can't this wait until the budget process? And I don't know if that's a question for the commissioner or a question for staff.
Well, why don't I go ahead and share the rationale I have prepared and
Thank
see
you.
If Ms. Rodriguez has anything to add.
Thank you.
So I think, as everyone knows, the census has been conducted every decade since 1790. We know and can predict the decennial census, yet for whatever reasons, the function of preparing for, engaging community and bureau partners, and ensuring a complete count is not institutionalized within Portland city government, thus making this request urgent and long overdue by, a couple hundred years, give or take a decade. The Office of Community and Civic Life should be the convening bureau to coordinate city activities for each decennial census to come, beginning with the 2020 count. This request was not included in the FY18-19 budget proposal, as the bureau did not have the opportunity to assess the city capacity for census preparation. We had a very new director who came in the middle of the budget process, nor was the community or conversation at the stage of readiness in January 2018. So coordination across jurisdictions and communities is essential to the 2020 effort, and too many efforts fractures our ability to deliver on the count. This is why Civic Life and the Census Funders Group have been meeting since January of this year and agree that this proposal will help us achieve an accurate count. We know that increasing the count by 1% can result in $7.4 million in federal funding. And it's very likely that we will find that 1% increase with the right effort. With the increase in population, the amount of funding the city can lose by not counting anyone can be even greater. A projected $675 billion in federal funds will be dispersed annually based in part on census data. This includes investments in transportation, housing, Head Start, homeless services, supplemental nutrition assistance programs, and more. If Portland is undercounted, then the entire state suffers as a result. There's also a tremendous political cost to all of us, but especially for the emerging electorate, if the city does not meaningfully prioritize this work. The introduction of the citizenship question by Trump administration on the U.S. Census has put fear into many communities who are already being undercounted. And we need to dedicate local resources to organizations who can go and educate individuals on why participating in the census matters. We must not let fear keep our communities from being counted. Working with culturally appropriate organizations means we get organizations dedicated to serving populations who are historically undercounted. So in our request, we asked for what we absolutely need, which was probably our mistake. We should have asked for more, and then we wouldn't be having this conversation, to meaningfully join community partners and the Census Funders Group and eventually the state in our collective effort. I have removed the request for civic life staffing, but hope my colleagues will support me to secure $225,000 for this work. As the largest metro area, the amount of investment from City of Portland is an important signal of our seriousness to other partners, including other jurisdictions. With just $100,000 as proposed, our ability to reach hard-to-count communities will be diminished, as will the return on this investment for the city. The census matters because counting our community members matters. If we start this earlier than the city has before, we work with community organizations who will put boots on the ground, ensuring that severely undercounted Portlanders are counted. This means better counts for Native Americans, African Americans, Latinos, immigrants, and refugees, better counts for multifamily community members who have generations under one roof, better counts for children. This means better counting for renters who move often due to lack of affordable, stable housing. This is better not just for those populations, but for all Portlanders. This means significantly more federal dollars as well as possible gains in seats in the U.S. House. What we saw in the election last night matters. Who controls the process of redistricting matters? Ultimately, if you want to see the city better prepared for and support the efforts of a better count, we need to pay our fair share. Luckily, we aren't going it alone. Civic Life has worked with community funders in efforts to leverage city dollars. They're merely waiting on us to show up. So I urge my fellow commissioners to show up. Let's not wait any longer. And we have a letter of support, which I cannot find at this moment, but it includes organizations like Northwest Health Foundation, the Collins Foundation, Meyer Memorial Trust, I mean, several major philanthropical organizations who are going to be participating in this effort and who support this coordinated effort.
Commissioner Fritz.
So I think we all agree, Commissioner, with everything that you said, that of course it's important to count everybody and that we need to get started early. My question follows up on the mayor's, which is, why do we need all of the money now? What would you do with this additional 125 that you can't do with the first 100? And then consider exactly how much more we need in the regular budget process after the process that you're going to use is a little more defined.
I think that Ms. Rodriguez can speak to that.
Mayor and commissioners, thank you for having us here. To answer that question is to address that immediacy has to do with all of our partners who already are putting their money on the table. And it's to be clear, it's not all of the money. We will be coming back for more ask over the course of the next 3 years. So this is kind of the kicking off and meeting where all of the funders already have started allocating and doing that work and sort of saying, the city wants to be at part of that table too and doing so earlier.
And why would at 225 make that statement in a different way than 100 when we can allocate more in just 6 months in the budget?
Sure.
The question is not, are we committed? It's what's the appropriate process to figure out what's the right number and how and when to do that.
Right. The community organizations worked with our director, Sukri, to discuss what the dollar amount, the right dollar amounts were. And the money that came out, the $200K, goes to eight organizations. $100K essentially would have who the organizations would be in half.
So it essentially means we reach half of the populations that were the hard-to-count populations we're attempting to reach. We can't tell you who the eight organizations will be because we have to put out an RFP, but they are organizations who are already equipped to connect with these communities, whether they're culturally specific organizations, they're people who often experience language barriers. And so waiting until next July at the earliest to get funding to get this work started is just, it's too late.
Also, as somebody who has done grants, it's not even just July. It's the time that it takes to actually get all of that grant funding and the contracting out, too. So it's further, it's just pushing us further and further into the cycle that's already happening.
Is there a comprehensive written plan for how this census work is going to be done?
Yeah, I think that was submitted with the bump request.
That didn't seem to be as specific as I would expect for a campaign like this, because it's very similar to an election campaign.
Right.
Making sure you get the turnout, who's going to be targeted. Mayor Wheeler was telling me that when he was at the county, Commissioner Cruz Walsh led the, what would it have been, 2010 census?
It may have even been earlier.
Or the 2000. You know, this does need to be an all hands on deck. And so, again, I hear what you're saying in terms of the grants, but, you know, what's the plan? What will they be doing? Or are we essentially funding the organization's ongoing operations and they won't be actually doing anything until later?
No,
it's not for ongoing operations. It's specifically for census work. So in the bump, let's see. I can read the language from there. Shows the $200,000 for eight organizations embedded in those hard-to-count communities. The activities include working with the specific subset of populations, as per Commissioner Udaly's remarks, that are the harder-to-count. The outreach activities would include the identification of barriers to census self-response, such as who are filling out census addresses that house multiple renters or unregistered apartments, or identifying households with internet access in anticipation of the emphasis of digital participation in 2020, developing shared strategies across organizations to address those barriers, developing and implementing interactive education campaigns that help community members return their forms, such as practicing out filling out those forms, emphasizing the importance of counting children, because we know children are severely undercounted, especially in groups where it's multifamily. But the $200,000 investment to those eight organizations is staffing, outreach, and accommodations. And then there's the actual split out of it is supporting staff for a census at $20,000 each, $2,500 with the targeted outreach in language-specific groups, and $2,500 for program expenses, as well as a joint $5,000 that would go around the development of collateral to start engaging folks.
So I have the letter here from the Census Equity Funders Committee of Oregon, and that committee is made up of representatives of the Collins Foundation, Grantmakers of Oregon and Southwest Washington, Meyer Memorial Trust, North Star Civic Foundation, Northwest Health Foundation, the Oregon Community Foundation, Pride Foundation, Spirit Mountain Community Fund, and United Way of the Columbia Willamette. I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but I'll read the section that addresses the plan most directly. So since January of 2018, as I had mentioned earlier, this group of Oregon funders has been meeting to learn about public, philanthropic, and nonprofit plans to engage in the 2020 census. We have heard from the U.S. Census staff, city and state partners, state-based and national philanthropic partners across the country, and community-based nonprofits. We believe that collaborating and coordinating our approach as funders is the best way to support an accurate and equitable account in 2020. To that end, we have developed a set of shared principles and goals, chief among them to align our funding to increase the response rate in hard-to-count communities. This effort will begin with an RFP to identify a coordinating organization which will develop a plan for a statewide get-out-the-count vote or campaign and help coordinate and align implementation of that plan across the state and the Portland metropolitan area, working with and across public, private, and community-based sectors. We as funders are committed to staying engaged through this process and supporting fundraising efforts to raise and align public and private dollars to this effort, ensuring resources are invested in communities that are hard to count rather than being dispersed without intention. And they close with thank you for taking the time to consider this critical request. We are hopeful for an effective 2020 census and look forward to working with the Office of Community and Civic Life and others to improve our city, region, and state. So the funding that we're requesting would go to 8 organizations who would be charged with these specific outreach to these specific hard-to-count populations within the city of Portland.
So how much have these community funders committed to this process?
To date, yeah. Somewhere between 300 to 400,000. I'm not sure of the exact number. We can get
for
that back to you.
Same RFP effort?
Into this effort, the joint effort.
It's a statewide effort, right?
Statewide.
So we're going to be about the same so far in Portland as for the state. There's for the statewide. Jessica, could you remind me what the City Budget Office's response to this request was, please?
Sure. As you know, Commissioner, the City Budget Office primarily only recommends funding for packages for new requests that fit into 3 primary criteria, and that is the request should be urgent, unforeseen, and unable to be absorbed within the city's budget. With this particular request, the concerns that were highlighted, I will say that the request in detail talks about the many benefits of investing in the census work and how important it is for all of the reasons that the commissioner articulated. One of the concerns that we had was sort of the unknown the commitment to funding something where the total amount of funding that is required is unknown at this time. One of the other thoughts was around the unforeseen nature and the ability, whether or not the Bureau had the ability to absorb some of this funding within their existing resources. It would push out other work that is being done by their current contractors, so there would certainly be a trade-off there. That was our recommendation, sort of drew that hard line around the unforeseen unable to be absorbed within existing resources. But again, council must consider our recommendations as well as other criteria in making their final decision.
Mayor, may I make a
Commissioner
comment?
Commissioner Fish.
So I think we can debate this all afternoon. Let me just offer a perspective. We have 2 amendments to a fall bump, which is probably something of a record in terms of council discipline, because I remember bumps where we've spent a long time. That's number one. Number two, it seems to me, from what I'm hearing in this conversation, any of my colleagues could approach this in one of 3 ways. They could decide that it's not appropriate for the fall bump, and depending on whether they want to give weight to the Independent Budget Office or they think this is one where we're just going to be especially discerning, or their questions haven't been answered, or they don't think the plan is fully baked, or whatever. But we uniquely get to make that judgment. We could, because of the importance of this issue, take it up as a freestanding matter outside the budget. That is, the council could direct that we want to see a plan that's a little sharper and bring it back, and it doesn't have to be part of the budget process. It seems to me the census thing stands on its own, and the upside to the city of getting a robust count is beyond dispute. So I I think the council could decide that this is something we want to take on and do outside the budget process. And the third is we can do it through the normal budget process. And we've, I think, ventilated those three options. The only question before us today is, does a majority of council want to fund this through the bump? I think we've had a good discussion. We have two amendments and then a substitute. I think we have a substitute to adopt. We have two amendments which are on the table. I would just move to a vote and see where the council is on this.
Well, I have a couple more comments. Waiting for the next budget process is too late. The urgency is that we have a hard deadline. We know the census is happening in 2020, and we have an administration who is attempting to strike fear into the very communities that we need to count. So there's the urgency and the unforeseen nature of this situation. It also was unforeseen by me, being a new member of council. I have not been here for 2 years yet. I couldn't have known that the city in the last 150 years has never gotten around to preparing for the census. So I'm attempting to make up for this historic oversight and ensure that hard-to-count communities, who happen to be the very communities that we are constantly talking about when we're talking about vulnerable populations, when we're talking about diversity, when we're talking about equity. I'm having a hard time understanding why this is remotely controversial. It is a pittance for what we stand to gain, and it is absolutely incumbent upon us to do it. So we have major organizations that are partnering with us on this. We have an opportunity to leverage this small investment.
So can I just respond to one thing? And I'm inclined to support this request, but I will tell you that your most recent comment is not accurate. And I'd be happy as a new member to talk about what we've done. But Chair Kefouri and I chaired the last city-county effort to get out the vote. And I don't remember all the aspects of it, but it was a large community-wide effort with community organizations that was precisely designed to get a more robust count. We had a logo, we had a kickoff, we had community partners, there was funding. So we don't have to go back to 1790. And I do think there's a tendency on this council to minimize things that have happened yesterday. So there is history for doing this. You've made a case that it's a small amount of money, there's a timing issue, and then there's an upside to the city. Given the belt tightening we've done on this particular bump and our broad discretion to each of us decide whether it's appropriate or not, I'm inclined to support it. But I do want you to know that there was very good work done 10 years ago, and we'd be happy to unearth some files and talk to Civic Life about it, because it is not true that the city and the county put its head in the sand. It may not have been robust enough, but it did have an impact, and I remember it had council support.
My apologies, Commissioner. That was not the intent of my comment. The point I'm trying to make is that, as we talked about on Tuesday in our work session, the city has not been setting aside money or enough money for anticipated expenses. And this census count can be anticipated every 10 years. So it was surprising to me to learn that there was no plan or fund in existence, and we're attempting to make up for that. I was not meaning to suggest that significant efforts had not been made in the past.
Commissioner Fish, I appreciate your suggestion that this could be done as a separate request from contingency once we know the full extent of the entire package, and that would give certainty to the ongoing process. I'm wondering if we could have a brief presentation on Portland United Against Hate, because I would imagine many of the same organizations are going to be our partners in the census work, and I'd like to know the status of the deliverables that were funded with the previous $350,000 and what the request in the bump will be for.
Who is not part of the census count? Are you saying you want the presentation?
At the beginning of this hearing, we talked about whether we would have a presentation about Portland United Against Hate.
And we decided not to.
Deferred that discussion. And so, as I just said, I believe that many of the same organizations will be involved, and I'd like to know about capacity and deliverables and what we're asking our community partners to do, if we're providing the right level of support.
PUA will not be speaking to the census request. If you want the report from them for the budget request that has already been included in the mayor's proposed budget, that's fine. They're still in the room, but they cannot speak to this. We'll be putting out an RFP. We don't know who our community partners will be on this project.
I have another idea. It might be a stupid idea, but let me just throw it out there.
There are no stupid ideas.
You haven't heard my idea yet. But I appreciate your sense of optimism, Commissioner Fish. I think we're all agreeing with Commissioner Udaly about the importance of this, and we all get the value of a proper census, and we also all understand, as Commissioner Fritz said, this has to be run like a competent field campaign. I mean, there has to be a plan behind this. Who's doing what, when, how, and where? And maybe the third path here is we could agree to put some amount in a reserve pending a work session or a further discussion that outlines the plan explicitly. We could spend all day here wondering whether the plan is solid or not. I'd actually like to see the plan.
So, Mayor, can I make a tweak to that? Because we've done that before in the past, so you're channeling the way we resolved a couple of similar disputes in the past. I would not make it contingent on a work plan. I would simply say that it's contingent on the submission to the mayor of a work plan that the mayor considers satisfactory for the release of the funds. I really don't think it warrants a work session, which are hard to schedule, particularly in budget season. And we have used that trigger in the past to release funds. And I think we should be very clear that what you're asking for is just a plan with the funding and the deliverables that you're satisfied at this level, which is at the very beginning of the process, is satisfactory to launch this with the money that we've set aside. And I would urge that as the proposal.
I'd like to hear some discussion on that. I'd like Commissioner Udaly's thoughts as well.
Well, because the mayor wasn't in chambers when I made the amendment, I want to make sure that you realize that the request was to reduce general fund unrestricted contingency for this request, and that we are already almost too late to start this process. Approving this ask today doesn't mean we're going to have this money to distribute tomorrow. It's a very lengthy process. So I would respectfully request that we include it in the fall bump and trust that my bureau and these organizations that we are partnering with, which I read into the record earlier, have a plan, and we certainly don't need a work session to go over it.
So, Mayor, can I be recognized?
Commissioner Fish.
My suggestion then, because we're also bumping up against the next item, we have a number of things to work out today. I would suggest that we take a vote on the request. The person who puts a request in for an amendment has a right to have a vote of the council. I'm inclined to support it. If it doesn't have sufficient support on the council, Mayor, you've signaled a third way that I understand that you might be willing to make an amendment, offer an amendment, that you can confer with the commissioner in charge. And if that has support, then that can be put to a vote. But I think we're at the point almost like a land use hearing. Let's have a couple of votes and see where we are. I think the sponsor has a right to have the council vote on the request.
If that's her desire, certainly.
Thank you, Commissioner. I just want to mention that Director Ree is now in chambers, and if anyone has questions for her, I can invite her to the table. No? Okay. I would like to take a vote. This is really important to me, to my bureau, and to the city, and I would like to move forward on it sooner than later.
Okay. And can I just clarify, Carla, we have taken public testimony, is that correct?
We did, yes.
We've completed public testimony.
We were through with it.
Amendments.
Okay, then what I would like to do is first take the vote on the substitute to get that done, and then let's get to the question of the amendment. So please call. This is to adopt the substitute. Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The substitute is now on the table.
So now we have Udaly 1 and Fish 1.
Correct. Please call the roll on Udaly 1.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
I absolutely agree that we need an accurate census count. We need to get started early on it, and I would like more information and a more defined plan as to whether even this amount that's being requested is enough. I prefer the mayor's approach. No.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm going to oppose both amendments on the grounds that I feel these are not urgent and unforeseen. With respect to the census, it is important. We're putting $100,000 into it today, and the least we can expect for that $100,000 is some sort of a detailed plan rather than the promise that we're going to come back and ask you several times for more money without knowing where it's going. So it's not an urgent and unforeseen request, and I think we're trying to get back to basics about bumps. That's what the bump process should be about, and that's why I will oppose both amendments. No.
Wheeler.
I'm going to vote no because I want the plan, so I'm going to stick to what I put in, which was the original was $100,000. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct, Mayor.
But I'm also going to make a commitment alongside this. In a moment, I'm going to offer up an amendment where Commissioner Udaly and I, in the next week, look at the plan. And I'm going to ask you all for the authorization that give Commissioner Udaly and me the ability to look at the plan, and I'll walk it around, and we'll get it done. Because I hear what Commissioner Udaly is saying about the urgency. I vote no. The amendment fails. I'd like to put another amendment on the table.
Second.
I guess I already did. It's on the table. Call the roll.
Udaly.
The second amendment is what?
So the amendment, to clarify, is Commissioner Udaly and I, over the course of next week, by the end of next Friday, you will give us the authorization to evaluate with Director Ree and anyone else a plan. And when we have the confidence, I have the confidence that we have a clear plan for expenditure, that you will give me the authorization to go ahead and deploy those resources. And the amount is?
$125,000.
$125,000.
And to be clear, Mayor, technically, would you like, is your amendment to place this funding into a policy set aside for
put
this
it
purpose?
Put it into a policy set aside.
Okay. I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion.
Are you sure a week's enough time for that?
No.
So since we're authorizing the $100,000, wouldn't it be better to make sure that you have a robust plan?
Director, give me a realistic estimate.
Let's
how much
from
time
my
do you
bureau
really need
staff. There? I think they're probably the best judge
let's do
the
that.
Turnaround.
I mean, I'd rather not have to get it done next week, but I can if I'm forced
I know
to.
How hard it is to schedule time with you, Mayor, so I'll accept if you've got it on the schedule already.
That's what the pre-dawn hours are for.
Yes, so Sigri, Director of Office of Community Civic Life.
Thank
apologies
you, Director.
For not being here earlier. In terms of, let me say this, everybody is at this stage of preparedness. They are getting their institutional commitments. We are coordinating. No one is actually, a few organizations have already put their, had their investment requests in, but almost everybody's at this exact stage. The point is that we need people to make their commitments now to work together and to invest. The funders committee just last week tried to align their funding and RFP strategy to better align with the cities. So we're actually trying to adjust at the same time in real time because everyone's decision-making processes aren't perfectly aligned.
Can I
get to you our best effort of where the statewide and Portland Metro Regional funders are coming together in terms of a coordinated statewide and strategy. It starts with a campaign analysis.
So here's where I'm hanging up on this. I just want to know, what are we spending taxpayer money on? And I get it. We're trying to get to a full count census.
Right.
But I don't understand. What does the $100,000 actually go towards? What is the plan?
So the first $20,000.
And then the $125,000, what is the plan? I don't need it today.
The only question on the table, if I can just jump in here.
Correct.
The mayor's proposing to set aside the money in a policy set aside and to have the sole authorization to release it. So you're on the cusp of a big win here. The only question here is, do you need more than 1 week to present the mayor with some written plan that gives him something to review in terms of phase one of what you're doing? Or do you need additional time to put that pen to paper?
I would actually like to take the week and accelerate this process. What we can get to you is our approach to put together a statewide coordinated plan. We're already in conversations with campaign analysts and the listening to the conversation on the drive-in. Yes, this is actually a three-year campaign approach. The first $20,000 of our request was for a coordinator to put alongside the investment of other funders because we actually need to do the planning together. So within a week, I can deliver something. To what level of granularity, I cannot guarantee at this time.
Okay. So here's the question. I'm not forcing you to do it in a week. You know, Commissioner Udaly said there's a sense of incredible urgency to this. Can it wait a month?